Can I have your attention? Morning, honorable members. Morning, everybody on the platform. Can we establish an LA if we do have a quorum?
Morning, Chair, and morning to members. Chairperson, we do have in the house Honorable Malamiso, Honorable Zee, Honorable Silia, and Honorable Kosho.
Okay, so we do form a quorum. Any apologies?
We received the apology from the Deputy Minister Chairperson, and we also have the apology from Honorable Kosho.
Okay. All right.
Morning, Chair, and the honorable members. May I request the chairman to excuse me at 10 o'clock? I'm taking my daughter to a doctor's appointment at 11.
Okay.
An urgent matter.
All right, I think we will start with the higher education and training then, and then we'll be followed by science and innovation. We haven't received an apology from the Minister, Anele.
No, sir.
Okay. Okay, welcome. Good morning, honorable members. Welcome to this meeting. Today we are going to receive a briefing on the quarterly report from the two departments. We will start with the higher education and training due to the request by the DG to be excused at 10. So we'll start with the higher education, hoping that by 10 will be done, and then we'll follow by science and innovation. Let's start with you, DG. DG for higher education and training.
No, thank you very much, Chair, honorable members, and my colleagues in the department. Thank you, Chairperson, for affording us an opportunity to present to this meeting our second quarter performance report and spending on the budget under these circumstances. So it's always an opportunity we really appreciate from honorable members, because they keep us focused and shaped in respect to the responsibilities and towards the fulfillment of our mandate. Mr. Mkiwa is going to project the presentation on the screen and take us through, and thereafter the CFO would actually come in and deal with the aspect which is budget related. With your permission, Chair, can I give over to Mr. Mkiwa to take the honorable members through the presentation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
There's something wrong with your sound there.
Can you hear me?
Well, I'm saying there's something wrong with your sound. I don't know what it is, but it's not coming out well.
Can you hear me now, Chairperson?
No, the issue is not about hearing you. The issue is about coming out of where you are, the gadget you are using. I don't know what gadget are you using, but it's not coming well.
Chair, I'm using the departmental laptop, and I'm using the department's network. You expect that when you use the department's network, everything is in order.
Let me just check.
Eva, can you adjust the voice here on the laptop? It's sounding very loud. That's what the chair is pointing out.
Okay. I'm not sure. Can you is it fine? I've tried to lower the volume. Is it fine now?
Well, it's still not fine. But let's try. Go ahead, and maybe it will get better as we move along. But if it doesn't, we'll have to stop you and start with DMI. We can fix your gadget. It's coming out very, very loud, and it's quite irritating. So you'll have to fix it. Otherwise, we will have to get somebody else to do the presentation.
Okay, let me try, Chairperson. Like I said, I'm using a laptop, and I'm trying to lower the volume. So, let's see how it goes. Once again, good morning, Chairperson, and the members, colleagues as well.
Can I just request, Mr. Mkiba, let me take the honourable members through, then you project it as you have done. Can you proceed to the next slide?
Okay.
Thank you very much. This is just an outline of the presentation, Chair, background, performance, the program, and financial information. Next slide. Next slide, Mkiba. Thank you. On the 24th June 2020, the Minister of Finance tabled a special adjusted budget to address the impact of COVID-19 on the economy and continued service delivery. The 2020-21 annual performance plan had to be amended to ensure alignment with the adjusted budget. Notwithstanding, of course, most targets were either shifted to a later date in the year or to the next financial year due to the budget cuts and the adjustments, therefore, that had to be made in terms of our finances. In total, there are 86 targets for the 2021 financial year. For the quarter under review, only 4 of the 6 programs had specific targets. Program 1, 1 target is achieved. Program 3, 2 targets achieved. Program 5, 2 targets, 1 achieved, not 1 not achieved. Program 6, 1 target not achieved as yet. Total of 6 targets with the 3 that has been achieved constitute 50% and the 50% not achieved. Most targets are planned for the fourth quarter of the financial year. In respect to Program 1, which purpose is to provide strategic leadership, management, and support services to the department. The performance status thereof of the target that has been achieved, we received an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General of South Africa. A remedial plan on audit findings has been developed for implementation. Program 3, which is university education, the purpose of the university education program is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory framework for an effective and efficient university education system and to provide financial support to universities, NSFAS, and the National Institute for Higher Education. In respect to the performance status, the target that has been achieved is the Historical Disadvantaged Institutions Development Framework that has been developed and approved as such. The target where the has been a problem is the Intergovernmental International a scholarship forum meeting that was scheduled for June 2020, which of course didn't take place due to COVID-19. So the meeting has since been rescheduled to take place in the third quarter. Next slide, Mtiva. Yeah, Program 5, which is skills development, whose purpose is to promote and monitor the national skills development strategy in the country, develop as well skills development policies and regulatory framework for an effective skills development system. The target that has been achieved is a report on the implementation of national skills development strategy by CITAS, which was produced as planned. And the target that we couldn't achieve is the 40 days lead time to process trade test applications received for testing that could not be measured. There were no new trade testing registrations for both quarter one and quarter two. So a process is underway to deal with a backlog of candidates that were already booked but could not be tested during the lockdown period. Next slide, Mtiva. In respect to the community education and training, the purpose is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy, a program assessment practices and systems for community education and training, as well as to provide financial and other support to CET colleges. The target then that has not been achieved for this quarter is the branch annual performance plan forecast during the quarter under review was on CET college sector oversight. However, monitoring of teaching and learning could not take place due to the nationwide lockdown, so everything had to be done remotely. As a result, the monitoring report could not be produced as planned. So the focus shifted towards the implementation of the curriculum recovery plan and monitoring the state of readiness for the examination. Next slide, Mtiva. Yeah, this is an overview of 2020-21 locations, of which I will ask our CFO to take the meeting through. With the permission of the chair, CFO, can you be able to take the meeting through?
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. As the DG has said, I'll be presenting the financial report for the second quarter, which covers the period from 1 April 2020 until 30 September 2020. This slide indicates a summary of the department's allocation after the passing of the special adjustment budget this year in June. I am sure the members will remember that during the special adjustment budget process, the department had a net reduction of 9.8 billion rand in the budget. The 9.8 billion rand comprised of 8.1 billion reduction that was from the skills levy, mainly due to the 4 month payment holiday that was granted, and the 1.7 billion rand reduction was from the voted fund. As a result, the department's total budget was adjusted downwards from 116.9 billion rand that was originally allocated to 107 billion rand. This is the amount or the figure rather that is projected on the slide at the top. And we can see on the slide that the 107 billion rand comprises of 95.7 billion from voted funds and the 11.3 billion rand from the skills levy. I also need to clarify that this report only includes the cuts that were made during the special adjustment budget process. Other cuts that were effected subsequently will be reported when we report in quarter three, because they were made after the end of September, therefore they will not be covered in this report. This slide further shows that the allocation of 107 billion rand it shows the allocation of that 107 broken down from the program. We can see that the university education program is having a 79.2 billion rand allocation, which is 74% of the total department's budget. The biggest chunk, or I can say almost all of that, is allocated to universities and the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. 44 billion was allocated to universities and 35 billion to NSFAS. And when you add the two amounts, you get almost 79 billion rand, just above 79 billion. Therefore, the program is left with about 124 million that was planned or was meant to be transferred to the Council of Higher Education, to the National Institution for Humanities and Social Sciences, and some for salaries and other administrative costs that is planned to be spent from the department. And we also see TVET has the second biggest allocation, which is mainly for subsidies. And also we see the skills development branch, which includes the skills levy, the skills levy allocation is normally having the second biggest allocation following the university branch. But we see now the position has changed because the budget under that area has been drastically reduced due to the impact of COVID-19. And we see now the CET College also had an adjusted allocation of 2.5 billion rand. Next slide, please. In terms of the spending progress, we had a total drawing of 82.3 billion rand from the Exchequer account, which is the money that the department had planned to spend during the reporting period of 1 April to 30 September. However, we were able to spend 78.4 billion rand, which left us with an underspending as of that period of 3.8 billion rand. And this 3.8 billion rand translates to 4.7% of the underspending. And this 4.7%, if we interpret it in terms of national treasury standards or parameters rather, it is within the acceptable range, because in terms of those parameters that were set by National Treasury, any variance that is less than 8% is viewed as being immaterial. And then also on the same slide, the last part of the slide where we see those sub-bullets, those are the reasons that are attributed to the 4.7% underspending as of that period, and some of those reasons are delayed in transfers, and some of those delays are linked to the fact that the department has introduced some stringent measures when coming to the reporting requirements, and some of our institutions are still grappling a bit in terms of meeting those requirements. So if we get the reports that are not in line with that, and we're not transferring the next fund, so that also added to those delays. But also under the skills levy, the projections that we had, which normally get assisted by Treasury because they're collecting that through SARS on our behalf, so they were also less than the projections. Compensation of employees, goods and services, those were also delayed, and the delays were also attributed to the activities that were not taking place during the lockdown. And also we had a delay for the earmark grants, those grants are earmarked to the EDTP theater, and they are mainly meant for the training of CET and TVET lecturers. And I wish to confirm that this money was subsequently transferred during the month of October. Therefore, when we report in quarter three, it will not be an issue anymore. Thank you. We can move to the next slide. And these are just also some of the reasons that contributed to the 4.7% variance in terms of when you compare the planned and the actual spending. And one of the issues that we wish to highlight that also resulted in that is that we normally plan as a department to pay a huge chunk of money during the first quarter, because to give to be able to catch up, or rather to alleviate cash flow pressures to the universities, because they will have ordinarily spend their own money when the academic year starts in January, but our financial year, because it starts in April, so when we start making transfer, we normally take that into account. So normally in the first quarter, we transfer you some of money. But this year, it was not the case because the annual budget was passed after the start of the financial year. And if that is the case, Section 29 of the PFMA limits the spending of the department to only 45% of the previous spend during the first 4 months. So therefore, there was not going to be a proper alignment between what we had thought we would transfer to institutions and also those limitations that were imposed in terms of Section 29. You can move. And this slide depicts the status of the expenditure per program. It shows the original allocated budget before any adjustment. As I've mentioned previously, we had 117 billion rand, and after the special adjustment budget, and then we were sitting at 107 billion rand, and the slide then had broken that in terms of the different programs and also the expenditure of 78.4 billion rand that I've reported in the previous slide. It really shows how that was incurred in terms of the program, and as it has been expected, that most of that will have been spent from the university branch, because they are the one that holds or the one who has the biggest allocation. And the last column on that slide is the remaining budget. This time is for the whole year, and you really, it also attests to what I was saying, that because of the nature of, because of the timing difference between universities and the financial year, so normally in the earlier part of the financial year, that's where most of the transfers take place. So that can be seen, because when the end of September report is halfway, but we can see we've already incurred way more than half of the budget. So that's how our projections are normally structured. We can move. So this is also the same information as the one on the previous slide, but it is analyzed in terms of the economic classification. And we can see also the available balances in terms of that. And based on our current projection, we might have some slight savings at the end of the financial year under the compensation of the employees. One of the reasons being, when we budgeted, we thought there will be a cost of living adjustment, but as I'm sure the attendees in the meeting will be aware, based on the announcement that was made consistently by the Minister of Finance, that there will not be any salary increase for public servants. So we anticipate some savings under compensation based on that, but also because of the effect of COVID and other administrative delays, some position will not necessarily be filled as anticipated. And also under goods and services, also with level one, where some of the activities of the department are not really have been back to normal, for example, and some of them might not even go back to more normal anymore. For example, most of goods and services spending goes to travel and subsistence. So even now, with the lowest level of the lockdown, with the traveling is not happening as much as we thought it should, when it would, when the projections were made. So it's something that we need to consider as a department as we are preparing for the projections for next year, because considering how things will work going forward, even the spending plans in terms of the categories will need to change. And we also, the 22 billion rand that is left under transfer payments, there are plans in place. And when we present quarter three, we'll also see that from that available balance, some of the subsequent cuts that were effected, most of them came from that balance. We can move to the next slide. Okay, Chair, this is a breakdown of the expenditure just on transfer subsidies. We normally show it because this is where the biggest chunk comes from. and it's based on, it shows how much went to universities, and this is not the allocation, this is the spending as at the end of September. And as I mentioned earlier on, I said universities allocation after the adjusted budget in June was at around 44 billion rand. So at the end of September, then we'll have transferred 32 billion rand. You can see for NSFAS that the entire allocation was transferred, and also it reflects on how much was transferred to other institutions at the end of September. And I would like to sincerely apologize to you, Chair and members. We have realized that there was a formula error on this slide after the presentation was distributed. So the total amount is not 2.3 billion as reflected. It is actually 69.4 billion rand. And if you add that amount to the sales levy, you will actually reconcile back to the, I think it's about 70 something billion rand that was transferred under transfers and subsidies. Can you move? Chairperson, 5 billion rand was prioritized during the special adjustment budget to fund COVID-19 related activities. 1.5 million rand was prioritized within the department in order to ensure the health and safety of staff members and also to comply with the return to work regulations. And 2.5 billion rand was prioritized within NSFAS. This is the money that is meant for the laptop, and 2.3 billion within universities and 172 million rand achieved colleges. And then in terms of spending, the department slightly spent above the projected funds for PPE or COVID-related issues within the department. So we went in excess because it was just a projection, but when we got the quotations, they were slightly above. And also when this projection was made, it was made based on an unknown event. And I remember at point we assumed that maybe we'll go back to the lower level sooner. So what we'll do here, we're going to do the necessary shifts, and we're not also ruling out the possibility that might go slightly up, as now DPSA expects public servants to go back to work 75%, I think that's the number. So we're expecting that there will be more sanitizers that are needed to be procured, etc. So, but we will make the necessary adjustments to cover that shortfall at the end. And in terms of the NSFAS, at the end of September, there was nothing that was spent in terms of that. And also for universities and TVET, we can see there's a footnote which suggests that that figure might not be a complete figure because not all inputs were received from universities. But this is not because they did not want to comply. I think it's because when the special adjustment budget was finalized, they needed to wait for formal letters from the department, and that was sent quite late. So because for the purpose of this report, they needed to report at the end of September. So some of them were not ready for that. So we are committing, Chair, that when we report for quarter three, we will not have those challenges where some input will be outstanding from other institutions. And this concludes my report, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. CFO and the DG, can we, I think we'll take both reports at once and then we'll discuss them later on. Can we then move to DFI? Okay, who's going to be taking us through DSI? Is the DG on the platform?
Yes, Chair, I am. I am trying to get the presentation loaded. If our colleagues from DHET could stop sharing from their side, I hope.
No, I think the screen that is appearing here, it should be yours. Yeah. If no one shares it now, you can share with us your presentation.
Okay, let me try and get there. Okay, I hope you can see it on the screen.
Yeah, we can see the presentation, but I'm not sure whether is this how the presentation is. Okay. All right, you can see something on the screen, but I'm not sure whether. Yeah, it's appearing in PG.
All right, thanks very much, Chairperson. So even with us, I will do the first part of the presentation, and then Mr. Robert Shaku will do the finance part. So this is how the presentation is outlined. We are coming to yourself, Chair and Honourable Members, to share the second quarter performance report for this financial year. This we have shared with the Portfolio Committee before in terms of the outcomes that the work of the Department is contributing on outcome 4, 5, 6, 7 and 10. Just to again reiterate our strategic outcome goals, it's a transformed, inclusive, responsive and coherent national innovation, human capabilities and skills for the economy and for development, increased knowledge generation and innovation outputs.
Is your knowledge, your presentation looks like it's timed. There's a timer there on top. I don't know, is this the right presentation that you are sharing with us, or is something wrong with your screen? But there's a timer there, and it's not supposed to be there.
I am not sure.
Can we start all over again? Maybe stop sharing and then try and look for the presentation and start all over again.
All right. I've stopped sharing. I will unshare the screen again. Go to the inbox. Open again.
Struggling to open.
This is taking time. There we go. instruction. Let's start again.
Maybe what we could do, you can open the presentation on your side before sharing, and then only share the screen once the presentation is open. Maybe that will work. Yeah, it's coming now.
Okay, I hope it's fully loaded, Chair.
Yeah, it's loaded, but it has to be in the slide format. So maybe if you can start the slideshow.
It's on my screen where it is. It's on the full screen.
Okay. Oh, on my screen, it's not yet on the slideshow mode. Okay, just let's go ahead and maybe as we move on, it's gonna.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, it's not yet on the. we can see your screen, so you're still on home. Can you go to the slideshow and just click there? Maybe it will come up.
Well, I'm on it on my side, Chair. Big screen shows slide number 3 as a full screen.
Okay, there's something wrong there.
Send it to Shanaz. I'm happy if she projects on the side, and then I'll just speak to the slides then.
Okay.
Shanaz, can I stop sharing and load it on your side?
Oh, okay. Come in now. Okay, just
click
right
now.
DG? It's like on the first slide. On the presentation outline.
Can you see the second one? Is it moving?
Yeah, it's moving. We're on the it's not on the slideshow mode, but we can see it. Maybe let's just continue as it is.
All right, thanks, Chair. So we have been through this one, number 3, the outcomes, and we also were on this one to indicate how our outcomes goals are formulated, and we will then use this to support them. What we'd like to indicate to the committee is that the one at the bottom, innovation to support a capable and developmental state, that's the one which we're added this year in the new strategy report on it. So I will go through some of the highlights for this quarter, Honorable Chair. As you know that we were finalizing the NRF amendment, so this has been completed, and we are now happy that the President has signed, and therefore we'll be working with the NRF to ensure that those elements of the act that needs to be implemented are implemented. As you remember, it empowers the minister to determine policies for research funding to be implemented by the NRF, the national facilities, and declare research institutions that are eligible for the NRF support. This just gives highlights of the bursaries that we awarded through the NRF and the programs that we finance in the department. So we have 3,764 honor students, and the breakdown is given there of the black students, the women students, and we haven't, as required by the committee, no people with disabilities that received the funding. 3,455 master's students, 2824 black and 2163 women, and the PhD is 2,466, with again the numbers being broken down for black students and women students. And then on the interns, we were able to get a report of 513 graduates and students that were placed in DSTA-funded work preparation programs. And I will explain later on, the target was 580 for the students, but we could only get a report for 513. We also are happy to share with the committee some good news that we received on the 7th of April from this organization called Intel. What it did was it announced an additional $50 million as part of the Global Pandemic Response Technology Initiative to combat the coronavirus. And what happened was the CHPC, the Center for High Performance Computing, that has been working with Intel Corporation, and the South African component was able to make out of that amount 10 million rands to establish a dedicated COVID response platform at the Center for High Performance Computing. So we are extremely grateful for this amount. We also have a number of technologies that have been filed for protection, or knowledge that has been filed for protection, and this we always receive through the National Intellectual Property Management Office. So I will be sharing some highlights of some of these. At the Northwest University, a digital COVID screening and data storage tool for special needs schools in Northwest was developed by Professor Grobler and Dr. Henry Murray. The product was awarded the Innovation Award and was named as the national finalist for the South Africa by the World Summit Award 2020 in the COVID screening category. And then they were also nominated for CPSI Award. And then a team of engineers led by Professor Grobler developed a remote monitoring system which will enable the experienced nurses and clinicians to remotely monitor a large fleet of ventilators on a single centralized monitoring platform. And in addition, a collaborative program was launched by the Mass ITA for two sets of university teams to develop a homegrown ventilator as well as curricula for training of engineering students in this field. The University of the Western Cape, which hosts the South African National Bioinformatics Initiative, has been chosen as one of the three regional reference laboratories in the WHO network. What these labs do is they provide sequencing data analysis and are supported by an additional 9 other laboratories for technical support services to the countries where they are located, as well as the neighboring countries. So this institute, together with other two centers, act as reference labs to respond to the pandemic COVID-19, and the other centers which the committee is familiar with is the CRISP, KwaZulu-Natal Innovation and Sequencing Platform, and the African Center for Excellence for Genomics and Infectious Diseases. And the World Health Organization Director for Africa commended this work and indicated that through this initiative, the country is not able not only to track the evolution of the pandemic, but also assess the possible mutation of the virus, which is crucial to mounting an effective. On the knowledge utilization for economic development, we have provided a number of support in which we have continued to small, medium enterprises and co-ops. We have given an example here of an investment in mining equipment and technology readiness atlas, then also investment in this collaborative additive manufacturing program, which has helped during COVID in the making of injection molds and the printing of medical plants has also been noted. And this, of course, includes investment into a series of advanced metals, which is relevant for local manufacturing, increased component life, and more efficient manufacturing processes. The local manufacturing via technology localization program, we've continued to provide technological support to firms in the maritime, nuclear, and power industries. And in the agricultural sector support, we've continued to provide, and we've yielded two IP products in citrus research during the reporting period. Then we also have, as you would know, the Agricultural Bioeconomy Innovation Partnership Program, which includes the support of AgriParks Program and the soybean and nutrition programs that are supported, that continue to support smallholder black farmers, communities, women, and young people in dissemination, technology dissemination programs. Last area of our targets in innovation in support of a capable state, we have started to work in support of district development model initiatives. What we are proposing is that science, technology, innovation can strengthen the capacity at local municipality level, thereby contributing to local economic development. We also have a data observatory where we provide data to enable lead departments to have real-time access to the progress on the activities that are happening in the various districts. We also continue to deploy the Municipal Innovation Maturity Index, which assesses readiness and strengthen innovation maturity in municipalities to improve service delivery. And then we also have a range of initiatives from the National System of Innovation that we are harnessing to support the district development model. And then the project information has been supported to the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs for Planning. Maybe just to give you a sense of the Municipal Innovation Maturity Index, it's a framework that assesses the smart city maturity level of municipalities, and it applies a five-level objective criteria, where you can see level one is limited and level six is share externally. So in other words, the municipality is so good that it can share with the others. And using this index, we have, for instance, a pilot that was done. You can see the red, green, and purple in the diagram that is inside that gives you a sense of whether this particular municipality is at level one or is at level six in terms of its maturity. We show the district projects that we have in all the provinces that are shown in small red dots in this diagram, and we have eliminated what we have in Gauteng. The next slide probably shows this even better in terms of the reach of our initiatives of the various districts. So the ones that are in green are activities where we have a project, and the ones that are in red means that we don't have any initiative. So this is just to give you a flavor of what we mean by the work that we've done with our colleagues. So these are some of the initiatives that we have done as part of our international cooperative program, Canada, Jamaica, and these countries that are shown to review progress of the work done. And in the U.S. arrangement, DECO and U.S. Embassy led the meetings of the SAUS political meetings to evaluate the impediments. And then under the EU Commission Program on Renewable Energy, project proposal was accepted, and then we'll be looking at executing this project on renewable energy between our rest of the continent partners in We've also continued to engage with international communities to promote Africa as a preferred partner for science and innovation through joint committee meetings with the countries shown. And we are also grateful about the portal, which is a partnership between ourselves and the Department of Women, Youth and People with Disabilities, which was showcased during the African Women's Innovation. And then we were also nominated to serve in the UNESCO Open Science Advisory Committee and also represented by the National Research Foundation in the International Institute for Applied Science Systems Governing Council. And the department, through a number of institutions, contributed in the initiation of African students enrolling in the EGIPS app launch pad online training program with the aim to build the capacity of African youth and foster sustainable African aim and app development. So just quickly then on the performance information overview, as you will see on the graph that comes, we had 20 targets that were achieved, which means 61 of the 33 and 13 that were not achieved, which means 39% was not achieved. So we'll try and do this per each of the programs. So we remind the Honorable Chair and members that we have Administration Program 1, Technology Innovation Program 2, National Cooperation and Resources Program 3, Research Development and Support Program 4, and Socioeconomic Innovation Part. So this gives the breakdown of how each program performed in terms of the targets. It's better illustrated here, where we can see that 50% in program one was achieved, over 67%. As you can see, two out of three in program two, four out of eight in program three, eight out of 11 in program four, and just to give some highlights, we also are happy to report on the unqualified audit opinion with no financial matters that we received from the Audit General. And then in terms of the platforms that we use to profile the work of the department and the entities, six platforms were targeted for this year. We were able to achieve that. Program two, there were two strategic and technical engagements that we were supposed to have with an agency, space agency. This was achieved. And then the trainees upskilled in intellectual property management and technology, 50 was the target, and we managed to get 346 of them trained. And then on international cooperation, international resource leveraging engagements, the target was 6, we got 14. Students, South African students participating in international training programs, we achieved that 90, target was 50, and international policy dialogues and technical exchanges, we had 14 in the target. STI, a plan of action implemented with bilateral partners in the continent, this was achieved. And program four, research development and support, no fewer than 1,500 PhDs, 2466, and no fewer than 5,000 pipeline postgraduate students, 7,219. And then on the National Equipment Program call, this was a proposal on the awarding infrastructure was issued. Sundrand connectivity, the plan was finalized. 2,000 researchers awarded research grants, 2,322. And then on the Meerkat, we continue with the installation progress for the receivers so that we are able to get the machine fully operated. Then the system design review, as was supposed to be done on the Meerkat extension, was done. And then the sample and technical report frameworks for the South African relationship with the science survey that was produced and the draft framework of indicators to inform the survey question and data sources. And the last program, Program 5, on knowledge products and innovation for inclusive development, the target was met. Annual work plan approved for at least 8 decision support. I gave you a little bit of a picture of these earlier on that was achieved, and learning interventions also they were achieved. On the annual work plan approved for at least 10 innovation support programs, this was also achieved. But the targets that were not achieved, we have categorized the reasons or classified them into 3. Process delays, which refers to factors which are outside the control of the department. Ineffectiveness of implementers and target formulation deficiencies. So we'll take you through these. On the presentation to a ministerial workshop to revive approval for the decadal plan, we received the review of the previous strategies, the NRDS and the 10-year innovation plan, and the higher education, science, technology and innovation institutional landscape report in August and September, and we therefore could not get the consultation analyzed, and we are now working on the new roadmap for the finalization of the document. Engagement with programs and finalize the strategy of campaigns. We spend a lot of time with the communication section to refine the process of how we are going to have our brand campaign rolled out. This has now been signed off, so we'll try and have an end on this. And there was a research chair that was supposed to have been appointed, and the reason is that the shortlisted candidates could not travel for interview because of travel restrictions. And then 5 capacity building initiatives for international cooperation. We found that in trying to get meetings and sometimes to get our historically disadvantaged institutions a part of this discussion, sometimes there were some connecting challenges. And then in terms of the STI initiative supporting Agenda 2063, as we all know, because of the COVID-19 crisis, the indicator has been delayed. The same with our initiative supporting the SADC Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan, as well as the engagements with global science leaders, these have been delayed. I indicated that we were supposed to have 550 graduates and students placed in DSI-funded work preparation programs. We reported 513. We couldn't get the report for the difference between 550 and 513, so we are following this up with the National Research Fund. Also, on the consultation on the regulations for the Indigenous Knowledge Act with communities, this has been delayed both because of internal processes, also because of our ability to then travel and do these engagements. But Professor Yona has already started with the engagements with the team in KZN. I think there's one planned for Northwest, so I think we are starting to do this. We couldn't have a bilateral meetings with all of the entities, and they are now lined for the month of December. In terms of industry relevant knowledge and innovation products, COVID and impact on HEI's industry might reduce the actual achievement, so we'll track this target very, very closely. And then on the pre-approval decisions provided within 90 days on the R&D tax incentives, the capacity was particularly stretched now during this period, also due to the S11D policy review that is under development. The bilateral engagement reports, again, these were delayed, but they're all on track. Both the CSR and the HSRC have been set up for the month of December, but there have been technical bilateral engagements to find out if there are any. On the financial reporting chair, may I ask Robert Shaku to take us through this. I'm happy to move the slides, Robert, on my side. Thank you.
Thanks, DG. I think I will take the slide from Sharma, DG. It's fine. Thank you. Morning, everyone, and morning. No, don't take the slide down, DG. I will continue the way it was going. Sharma can continue. Can continue it. Can DG hear me? Hello.
Yes, I can.
Okay. No, thanks. Morning everyone, morning Chair, morning Honorable Chair, and morning Honorable Members, and morning colleagues. Okay, sorry for that.
DG, you have not introduced Robert. Who is Robert?
I'm trying to open the video. I don't know why it doesn't want to open.
Yeah, I'm saying, DG, Dr. Phil, you forgot
his name.
Who's Robert?
Yes, sir. Robert Chago is the acting CFO during the secondment of our CFO to DNET.
Okay.
Apologies.
Okay, Robert.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, DG. I'm going to go with you through the spending for the department for the second quarter. Our slide indicates the current budget after the special adjusted budget that was passed in the 2 months back. Our budget currently is 7,362,000,000. Initially, we had a budget of 8,797,000,000, which was reduced by 1,435,000,000. As a result, even I think our APP had to be reduced to ensure that they are aligned to the reduced budget. The slide that is depicted shows how the budget was cut according to various economic classifications. I mean, how we have according to various classifications after the cuts. Currently, under compensation, we've got 382,000,000. Under goods and services, we've got 140,000,000. Under transfer and subsidies, we've got 6,837,000,000. And under payment for capital assets, we've got 3,000,000. We did not project a slide for how the programs were affected, but I can just quickly go through that with you. Under Program 1, after the cuts, our budget is 314 million. Program 2 is 1,390,000,000. Program 3 is 117 million. Program 4 is 3,843,000,000. And Program 5 is 1,698,000,000. That is the cut at the program level. And then the performance with the department for the quarter. For the quarter that just passed, we didn't spend as projected. The actual spending for the period ending September amounted to 3,712,000,000, which is 50% of the adjusted budget of 7.3 million. Against the expenditure of 4,928,000,000. This translates to a variance of 1,206,000,000 or 24.7% of the planned budget. The expenditure according to programs in the current quarter, Program 1, we managed to spend only 107 million of our budget, which translated to 36% of the budget. Program 2 was the budget that spent significantly high. We even overspent by 10 million under this program, but it was still within accepted treasury parameters. We spent 653 million, and which was translated to 1.6% of the budget. And then international cooperation and resources. We planned to spend 68 million. We spent only 30 million.
of the budget, and then 33 million could be spent, which translates to 55.3%. And under research and development and support, we plan to spend 2,950,000,000. We spent 2,056,000,000, which translates to a variance of 893 million, or 3.3% of the planned budget of the underspending. Under socio-economic partnership, which is program 5, we plan to spend 1,097,000,000. We only spent 864 million, and we have a variance of 233 million, or 21.3%. Under various economic classification, under goods and services, the department plans to spend 96 million, but spend only 40 million, or 57% of the budget. And under compensation of employees, the plan was to spend 194 million. We only spend 155, which is a variance of 20.2%. And under transfers and subsidies, we plan to spend 4,635,000,000. We only spend 3,505,000,000, which is a variance of 24.2%. And under payment for capital assets, the plan was to spend 2 million. We only spend 1 million, which is 53.5% of the underspending. Next, please. Next slide. The reasons we didn't spend as we had planned, we have indicated the reasons on our presentation. Largely was due to the lockdown, particularly when it comes to compensation of employees. We couldn't fill all the positions because we did the lockdown, and also the moratorium that was put on filling of positions. And also our Deputy Minister's office, it was still at the head, the spending for Deputy Minister was not spent in the last quarter. But that will improve as we move along, because now the office is in the building. The spending for the Deputy Minister will make our compensation budget spending look much better. Next slide, please. Under goods and services, due to lockdown, there were so many activities that couldn't take place. There were no meetings, there were no events at all. As a result, spending under those items could not move because they didn't happen. Including travel, there was no travel during that period. It affected our spending. So as a result, we couldn't spend money under those various classes. Next slide, please. Under transfers and subsidies, BG has touched on some of the reasons why there was no good performance under our APP. As a result of the various challenges he raised, inefficiencies in planning and various challenges. Most were administrative, reports were not sent on time, and as a result, money could not move during the period. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. I've already touched on this one. Mm-hmm. I've also put the slides per program, how did various projects in programs performed. As we've indicated, most of our projects did not perform very well due to the reasons that we have mentioned, and also the reasons that DG mentioned. Program 2 as well, there were quite a number of projects that did not spend. Under that, we've got a variance of 7.2. Sorry for that. The various projects that did not spend under that program that we have shared with you. Next slide, please. Go to slide program 2, the second program 2 slide.
second program two slide, page 60. Thanks. As you can see, there was a significant understanding, for example, under AKS, and you know, as a result, you know, apologies, there was significant overspending under this area. That is why program two is one of the programs that it is looking very, very well as compared to other programs. As I've indicated, their variance was -1.6%, which did not look that bad as compared to other programs. Page 62, please. Under program four, also, program four did not perform very well. There were quite a number of projects that did not spend during the period. As a result of the reasons that we've mentioned. Program 5, page 65. Program 5 was one of the programs that were worst affected. Only one transfer took place during the period. This is one of the programs that were worst affected as a result of the inefficiencies that were mentioned. But to ensure that we catch up, we have requested catch-up plans from all our programs as to how we are going to ensure that this money moves. The programs are going to give us those, and those plans must be implemented by the end of December in this quarter, so that when we go to the last quarter of the financial year, the position looks much better as compared to now. Currently, as I appreciated, the situation does not look good, but as soon as we get those plans and the plans are implemented as indicated, the situation will improve. As I indicated, most of the problems is administrative. The reports are not sent on time. This indicated that during planning, when they plan, the planning are not aligned, they're not very good, and then they make it difficult for the implementers to achieve what we want them to achieve. We also expect slide 68, please. 68. We are also reporting on the spending on COVID. The department has put aside 344 million for COVID spending. So far, we have spent 77 million for COVID spending, for sanitizers, for decontamination of the building, and also for strategic health partnership program. Also that helps with, you know, the surveillance, prevention, diagnostic, and so forth. Slide 69, please. We are also reporting on procurement. The department spent 7.8 for goods and services million in the quarter. The spending is broken as follows. Under small and medium enterprises, we spent 3.5 million. Expenditure on black companies was 4.3 million. Expenditure on women-owned companies was 2 million. Expenditure on youth-owned companies was only 452,000. And the spending there in terms of percentages, under SMME we spent 44.6%. Under black-owned companies, we spent 54.5%. Under women-owned companies, we spend 27.3%, and under youth-owned companies, we spend 5.5%. Of the spending, the total spending for COVID under goods and services was 2,247,000, which is broken as follows. 294 was for small and medium enterprises, 2.2 million was for black-owned companies, 19,000 was for women-owned companies, 223,000 was for companies owned by the youth. And then percentage in terms of those classes, we spent 13% for small and medium enterprises. For black-owned companies, we spent 100%. And women-owned companies, we spent 0.90%. For youth-owned companies, we spent 10%.
Our intention was to spend, the next slide please, our intention was to spend 40% on women owned companies. Unfortunately, we couldn't due to COVID, and most of our procurement were procured through transversal contracts. Our biggest spend was communication and procurement of laptops, which we procured through CETA contracts that were already entered into. And also, I mean, the water contract with an RT, treasury RT contract. So we couldn't spend 40% as planned. But we do have, we developed a procurement strategy which seeks to correct that, to ensure that we are able to procure from all these classes, designated groups that were previously disadvantaged. Our intention is, for example, is to spend 20% on black people in the township. Or maybe if I can look at the category of people. On black-owned companies, we want to spend 50%. On women, we want to spend 40%. On youth, we want to spend 30%. And people with disabilities, we are saying we want to spend 5%. We have aligned this with the targets that were put in HR in terms of employment of people with disabilities. This is our intention going forward to ensure that we meet those targets. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thank you. We have also shared with you how we have performed in terms of paying invoices within 30 days. In the last quarter, the last 6 months, the last 3 months, we performed very well. The last 2 months, we had quite a number of cases in the building, and most of the people who were affected were finance staff. And also because people are not in the office, we were not able to monitor as we should. There was few invoices where the existing suppliers' tax matters were not in the order. So we only realized when we received invoices. So those made us not be able to achieve our 100% as we had in the past. That would be the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That was quite long and detailed. Thanks for sharing that information with us. DG, are you fine?
Okay. Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. We're grateful. Sorry it was long, but we thought we would give you as much detail as we could. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. maybe I must take this opportunity and congratulate the DG, Dr. Phil Mdjwaga, for being awarded the best Director General at the 2020 Batubele Awards. I think it was last week or week before. We'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of the committee to congratulate you for being awarded this honor of being identified as the best Director General in the Republic for the 2020 year. And I think that is well deserved. It well deserved appointment or award. We have also witnessed ourselves after having interacted with you and your team, the kind of dedication that you take to your work, passion, and the manner in which you carry yourself in doing your work. That was demonstrated even in the clean audits that the department has been receiving in successive years. So we'd like to say thank you very much and all of the best. Let's open for engagement, honorable members. I was not sure when the
Department of Higher Education and Training presented the second quarter report. It was so, how can I put it? It was so summarized that I was actually beginning to doubt whether are we really dealing with the second quarter report or what. Just as an example, slide number number five on university education. There are only three targets there. Actually two that have been reported on. The first target that the department says was achieved is the historically disadvantaged institutions development framework has been developed and approved by the minister. The target not achieved, the Intergovernmental International Scholarship Forum meeting that was scheduled for June 2020 did not take place due to COVID. The meeting has been rescheduled. So the university program has got only two targets that have been reported on. One is achieved, one not achieved. And I was thinking whether, actually when this was being done, I was in serious doubt whether this branch has got only two targets. I don't think that the branch has got two targets. This branch, I'm just making an example of this branch alone. There are other branches as well where the reporting on performance is not done properly. You know, I'm wondering who put this thing together because it is not properly done. And I don't think this is how performance should be reported. Because performance should be reported against what has been planned. So the planned target vis-a-vis the planned, the actual performance. So here we only have two targets, and I wonder if this is what is contained in the APP. Just as an example, during the special appropriation, this branch was allocated 79 billion. So you are allocated 79 billion, you come and report only on two targets, one achieved, one not achieved. So does those two targets represent the 79 billion that has been allocated to the branch? Surely not. Surely there are many other targets, many other indicators in the branch which has not been reported on. We don't know the status of those targets and those indicators. We only reported on two. This is very shady, very poor. Whoever did this one, I think must go back to school to learn how to report on performance, because this is not proper. See, against what we have been reported on by DSI, you indicate what the planned performance, planned targets were, and then what has been achieved. Not the summary that they've just achieved, that has just been presented on. So it's going to be difficult to interact with this summary, because this is not proper. But anyway, let's hear what the members have got to say. Can I take hands? Okay, it looks like members don't want to engage today. Alright. Okay, I see there are three hands. Honorable Lisbia, Honorable Sidiya, and Honorable Mananiso, in that order. Let's engage But yeah, before Honorable Lucia comes in, last week, yeah, when we had FACWA and the CHE and QCTO, we directed that the department must have an engagement with FACWA in order to see how they can rescue the situation and avoid the planned retrenchments that were being reported on. So my only question to the department is how far has the department gone in following up on that? Okay, Honorable Lucia.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks to the two departments for their presentations. Also, join your chairperson in congratulating Dr. Mchaga for winning the award of the best director general this past final or this year. Chair, I think my questions are, let me start with skills development. I think on trade tests, the department says the trade tests were not conducted in the first and the second quarter. And what is the impact of this on employability of those who would have ordinarily done the trade tests, and those who required the trade test in this case to get employment or even self-employed by securing contracts? What is the trade testing application backlog and for which trades? What mechanisms are in place, to ensure that the trade test application backlog will be dealt with? And here I'm assuming that there is a backlog, Chair. Whether the department is confident that those who applied will be tested and by when? And what is the waiting period for those who have applied for trade tests, given the backlog? I also saw, Chairperson, in August, the Department of Higher Education, Science and Innovation advertised a number of posts from CFO to Chief Director, CTC, explaining University Branch, Chief Director of the University Branch, Chief Director, many of them, Chairperson. And maybe let me first applaud them, Chair, for making sure that all those who possess foreign qualifications, it's there as part of the advert, says those who possess foreign qualifications must make sure that by the time they apply, their qualifications are evaluated and vetted by South African Qualifications Authority. I think this is a good move that we must applaud, Chairperson, because others, they evaluate with some private companies and so forth. And I think we must send a strong message to all other departments in this government that when they advertise, we must make sure that everybody vet and evaluate qualifications through South African Qualification Authority, because if that is not done, Chairperson, by government, I mean, you can imagine private sector will never do that. But going to questions, I think the CEO, Mayor Mukule, I think I always get your surname wrong, but I hope I got it right this time. Mayor Mukule, you did say that some posts are going to be frozen. during the presentation, whether all of the posts advertised in August will be filled or some of those will be frozen. So I'm just asking if in you saying some posts will be frozen, are you also referring to these ones that closed on the 18th of September 2020? If yes, which post from the advertised list will be frozen? And what is the update in terms of filling the advertised vacancies? And then, to be honest, Chair, on science and innovation, maybe I'm blinded by the good work that they do there. I did not have specific questions except the financials there, acting CFO. I think in one of the slides you showed that only about 0.90%, less than a percent, was spent on businesses owned by, I think, by females, if I'm not mistaken. I think, can we just improve on those? I mean, if government itself is not spending enough on young people, on SMMEs, on black-owned enterprises, on businesses owned by people with disabilities, who do we expect to, take care of those? So I just want to appeal to both departments please let us spend money on this marginalized grouping. Lastly, Chair, it's important to know that between NSFAS and the university branch, over 77 billion, if I'm not mistaken, or 79 billion, over 79 billion of the department's money spent within those two branches. So not necessarily branches, but both of them are under university branch. And the universities, as you know, Chairperson, when they are supposed to come in account, they will tell you about their autonomy and all of those. And NSFAS, as you speak, Chairperson, have not received an audit outcome of NSFAS. So it's worrying that those who, I think, the money there was about 75% of the total budget spent in those two branch and a semi-branch of some sort. And, it looks like accountability, there's a problem. And I think as a portfolio committee responsible for making sure that public funds are accounted for, we really need to have a discussion. A proper discussion on the autonomy of universities, but also have a discussion on accountability from National Student Financial Aid Scheme, because our people really have trust that the Portfolio Committee, Parliament, will really hold people accountable when we are supposed to do so. I think, Chair, maybe without necessarily wasting much time, I think I have gone through all I also forgot to indicate that the Department of Science and Innovation as a department, they also won the award, Chairperson, for the best functioning department. And I think this is why maybe I might be blinded and not see other issues there. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honorable Umams Bia.
And thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for my presentation.
And again, congratulations to Director Hill. He must keep up his work. Well done. And under the Department of Higher Education, and what is the status of the review of the TVET sector syllabus in collaboration with the universities? And in SAQA, to what extent has the recommendations been implemented since the publishing of the report in 2017? And with DSI, I'm not clear whether there were no people with disability or there were no funds for people with disabilities. Go slide number 7. I'm not clear on that one. And go slide 14, with district development model. You are talking about districts. Out of 9 provinces, I'm not sure which district are you talking about. If you can mention those districts. And again, you have said there was understanding with office of the deputy minister. I didn't understand the reason of understanding. If you can elaborate more. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Dear Honorable Mananisa.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me switch off the video, Chair. Firstly, let me welcome all the presentations from all the entities. And one must say that it is very difficult sometimes to speak after you because of some of the questions you cover them while you continue with your sharing. So mine is on the issue of DSI. I want to check if there's any plans with regards to people with disability, more especially for the blind, because I believe that the department has been playing a pivotal role in terms of ensuring that they stress their work in terms of ensuring that people with disability, more especially from the side of the blind, they are accessing their services. So I want to check the relationship with Blind SA with regards to issues of smart canes that they are actually developing, which is one. And I must say that perhaps it should be for the last time that the DSI speak little in terms of people with disability because of with COVID-19 and the lockdown. I have learned that this sector is one of the sectors that actually implements cost-cutting and mainstreaming issues in real sense, not only speaking about those issues. So, Dr. Phil, as we acknowledge your good work that you are doing, can you please prioritize people with disability? And on the issue of women emancipation with regards to opportunities for procurement, I think you are doing well, noting that the president has just pronounced this year that he would like to see everybody actually applying 40% of opportunities for women in that space. So noting whatever that you have said, at least you are not that bad like other departments that cannot even say anything about women development. So you just need to pick up your thoughts with regards to those issues as your priorities. As we can see that on issues of academia and professionals, you are at the levels that you want you to be. Chairperson, I think I'm covered on your issue of what are the mitigations with regards to retrenchments. I would want to know in terms of staff, what is the plan thereof in terms of ensuring that we don't retrench people. The other thing is with regards to your TVET and CET, Chairperson. I think it's unfortunate that we're still on visual, Chair, but one wants to propose that perhaps during our time of constituency period or any time we need to just make all physical oversight for TVET and CETs, because with what you have said in terms of the summary of it is too summarized in a sense that one cannot want to go deep in terms of poking, why not this and so on. However, as this portfolio committee, we have emphasized on the issue, this thing of people planning, and then we'll be told that certain targets has not been met. So I want to know from DHEC to say, what is the plan that you have in ensuring that you meet the targets as planned, or what is the plan to review what you think that with whatever that is our status quo, where we see that some of the things we cannot achieve, what is it that you feel that you need to reduce in terms of chowing too much, but biting too much, but you can only chow a small portion. So I want to know what are the plans that you think that, whether you like it or not, they must be reviewed, so that as we move forward, we don't see this shameful reports of one target out of two. I mean, for me, it doesn't give sense. I think the person has said it mouthful with regards to the summary that we got today, summary of summaries. Chairperson, I'm partly covered as well by Mams Beer on the issue of the review of the TVET College's syllabus, because we've been lamenting on this to say that fact is some of the people, they don't see a need of choosing TVET as institutions of higher learning of choice based on the fact of whatever that is as curriculum. So I think I would just need to get to know the status quo thereof in terms of how far is the plan for issues of the refugees. The other issue, Chairperson, is with regards to DHEC's implementation plan for the articulation policy. Can they share with the committee in terms of how far are they, and as well, overall implementation in terms of policies that are there in DHEC, how far are they in terms of ensuring that everything is in place? Because one thing is that without proper policies or non-implementation of policies, there is nothing that we can achieve. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mananis. Honorable Nodad. Babu Nodad.
I don't know if my connection is fine with the video on, Chair, but I'll just request just switch it off because I'm in a place that does not have good connection in the UK.
Okay, fine.
Chair, mine is pretty simple. Thank you so much for the presentation. Good morning to everybody. First of all, I'd like to join you, Chair, in congratulating the DG of Science and Innovation on the exceptional work that they do in that department, not just him, but his entire team. I think they're a very good yardstick of what a good department that does well, or what does, or a department that does right by the people, ensuring that whatever it is that they do is about servanthood, they utilize the money of the people correctly. Not to say that they're a perfect department, as much as they might have shortfalls in some entities, one or two, but generally they are a department of excellence, and I want to give congratulations to the work that they do, and I want to urge them to do well. And I think it's high time that even us as Parliament, the executive needs to start rewarding departments that actually do well in ensuring that they do deliver the different services in the entities that they're in, but making sure that science is an element that is used for service delivery in South Africa. And them being a budget that they get, I think it's something we're going to have to consider moving forward as to how do you best boost this Department of Excellence for them to do more work. Just moving on to my questions, I don't have much questions to be quite honest, Chairperson, but I just wanted to ask the Department of Higher Education that, you know, you've achieved 3 out of 6 targets, well, meaning 50% of those targets, the second quarter. In terms of Program 3, 5, and 6, not achieving 100%, what are the reasons for that? what interventions are put in place, and how will they be monitored to make sure that we actually reach those particular targets? And please give us very, very specific things for us to understand and move forward. Then, secondly, I wanted to check, what are the reasons for the shift in focus in terms of how does the shift impact the ACP in targets that are set for Program 3 and Program 5, Program 6, particularly in relation to intergovernmental and international scholarships forums, as well as the trade test that the Honorable Lucia was talking about, as well as the report that I've indicated on teaching and learning improvement plans by the Director General on the 31st of March. I wanted to check what the shift is in terms of focus. How does that shift impact the APP, and how will this be mitigated? Then my third question, Chair, many of the variances that I indicated in terms of performance are reoccurring, Chair. It's not new things that we are seeing that are, for example, meetings that have been scheduled in the third quarter. There were no new registrations for trade tests for both quarter one and two. The focus shifting in terms of curriculum recovery and all of that. Some of these issues that are reoccurring, Chair. This implies that there remains a lack of effective consequence management, which again I'll sound like a broken record. Have there been any consequence management interventions for non-performance, particularly in areas that we have not made targets? And if maybe we can get detail in terms of that. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. Let's open for the department to respond. Well, we don't have the minister, and we have not received his apology for this meeting. There is a correspondence that we issued to his office on the 21st of October, where we requested some information from the office of the minister in relation to NSFAS. And that letter was not responded to. We sent a reminder to the office of the minister on the 3rd of November, requesting that that information should be responded to us by the 5th of November. I think I raised this matter in the meeting of the portfolio committee, and the chief of staff of the minister indicated that they are busy preparing a response. Now it's today, what day is today? It's the 17th of November, almost a month since we requested information from the minister. We have not received that information. We have not even received an indication as to why that information cannot be given to us, whether the information is not available or the office of the minister is simply not wanting to give us that information. I don't know what is the correct state, whether the information is not available, whether the office does not want to give us that information, and just not complying with its obligation to account to Parliament, or I don't know what is the situation. Unfortunately, the Minister is not here for us to ask him, but the Department is here. The Department can respond to that. It's really something that is not really acceptable, that we request information, we set timelines, we get ignored, and the obligations that are imposed by the Constitution for the executive to account to Parliament is ignored. So it's a matter that I am not happy with, and I hope that the Department will respond, and as soon as possible we'll get the kind of response that we are asking for. It's in line with what the committee has been dealing with, the approval by the minister for the benefits of the advisors of the administrator of NSFAS as per section 17B of the Amendment Act of NSFAS. So it's something that is a legislated task. It's not something that is done as a by the way. So we'd like to get that information. Otherwise, the issues have been raised, and let's just get some feedback. Or for the DSI, when we met 2 weeks back, we asked that it should give us some information in writing relating to a number of things, the decadal plan, information regarding what was identified by the Auditor General as irregular expenditure of about 190,000. So we've also not received that information. So if the DG can just indicate to us when are we going to get that information, so that we can finalize our report for BRRR that we have to adopt, I think, very soon. We might have to do it tomorrow before the end of this week. So we need all that information so that we can finalize our report and our recommendations. Okay, can we get responses? Let's start with DHEAD and then DFI. Okay, so DHEAD, the DG has asked to be excused. I don't know who's acting DG now, but I've seen that the chief directors are present. They are present in a meeting, so let's get responses. Okay. Let's move. Was there? Okay. CFO, acting CFO.
Thanks, Chair. I can go first and respond to some of the questions. I will start with the question that the Chair has asked about the SACWA meeting. The meeting with SACWA is scheduled to take place tomorrow at 10 o'clock. But what we have done as a department since SACWA presented to the Portfolio Committee is that we had our internal meeting that was between Finance and Planning Branch trying to reconcile and process all the information that we have. We had regarding SACWA, particularly that there were a lot of discussions before the SACWA appeared to before the committee, and those discussions, some were held between finance officials and others were held between DDG GASA and the CEO, and there were some discussions that were not necessarily part of that were held with the minister. So we had our internal meeting just to try and reconcile all of those. And over and above that, we've also noted that some information that was presented to the committee by SAQA, as a department, we understood it slightly differently from the our past discussions with them. So we just wanted to make sure that we have that engagement internally to process that. So, but I'm sure after our meeting with them tomorrow, we've also actually in the meantime asked them for more information that was going to assist us to understand where we are with the issues there. So Chair, I'm sure after our meeting tomorrow, we will be able to provide a report on the tangible way forward. And in terms of the question that was asked by Honorable Lisie, regarding the advertised post, I would like to apologize. I think there could have been a misunderstanding. I did not necessarily say there were posts that were frozen. I think as I was presenting the variances on the compensation and also the projections towards the end of the financial year, I mentioned that we are projecting to have some savings because one, there were delays in filling positions, and one of the reasons is attributed to the effect of the lockdown, because at some stage when the particularly in level 4 and level 5, the DPSA has issued a circular that some of the recruitment processes should be halted. So that also resulted in a delay, and also some a few administration delays. So what we had projected will not necessarily be what will be spent, because some of the positions will be filled later on in a year. But the DDG Corporate Services this year, I'm sure she can maybe also advise further in terms of the latter part of the question by Honorable Lucia as to what is the plan in terms of filling those positions. Thank you.
Can we move to the next DDG?
Yes, thanks very much, Honorable Chair, as well as esteemed and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, my colleagues from DSI, as well as Department of Higher Education and Training. My response, Chair, is going to be around the trade testing. And I must say, honorable members are aware with the fact that we have been subdued in terms of our work by COVID-19 protocols and requirements. And to that extent, we're able to start with the trade testing in particular on the 16th of July 2020. And immediately also after our opening, we had to close about 2 days, two occasions, due to some cases that were identified at Indlela. But I must comfort the members of the committee that just before the lockdown, we had about 386 applications for trade testing. And those ones have been processed so far. Since we reopened again our services, we have received about 121 applications, of which also we are planning to have them processed during November as well as December. I must indicate, Honorable Chairperson, that those trades which continue to be in demand, these applications are mostly in those trades, like, for example, diesel mechanics, electricians, plumbing, fitting, and tenor, and so on. But then, of course, if the committee will need to have them in detail, those applications, we can provide that information. But then basically those are the trades. I must also mention, Chairperson, there is this area of the lead time. We call it a lead time, meaning which therefore when someone submits his or her application, so when that person, he or she expects then therefore to go for trade testing. I know if you look back into the past medium-term expenditure framework in those 5 years, we started at a very low base. We started at 169 days, whereupon a person will make an application, will take about 169 to finalize or to trade test that person. And I can confirm now that by the end of the financial year 2019-2020, that is now down at 37 minutes, and therefore we managed to improve efficiencies within our system. Obviously, for the next 5 years, on average, I can say we're planning for about 40 days. The date someone applies and the date someone comes for a trade testing. So I must also comfort the member of the committee that in the previous financial year, Chairperson, we managed to meet our targets for those artisans found competent, because we achieved by 24,049. That target, of course, we are heading towards your 2030. That is the National Development Plan target. And we hope that we'll be able to meet the target of 2030. However, I must indicate as well to the Honorable Committee that we had to revise down targets for this financial year. And we reported, when we reported in August in the Portfolio Committee, and then obviously accident targets were also affected. I must also comfort the committee suggesting that we did not revise down for the next coming financial years up until 2025. But those targets are remain intact, because we really hope that we'll be able to, as the economy is recovering, to meet those targets. As you know, that for this financial year, we are told that the economy is going to go down by 7.8% to recover from next year, or to rebound at 3.3%, and then 1.7%, and 1.3%. So we think then, therefore, with that opportunity, we'll be able to meet our five-year targets. Hence, we could not revise all targets except for this year, because the honorable members will be aware of the skills development holiday, whereby, which is amounting to more or less a 6 billion, which is a great loss of revenue in terms of our skills development system. In particular, of course, when you look into our workplace-based learning programs, of which we have been doing quite very well in the past years, and also we've done quite very, very well in the year that has ended, March 2020. And we really hope that we are going to impress upon as well, meeting those targets going forward. Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members of the committee.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mbalo. Dr. Parker.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The Chair and other members made mention of the fact that university education budget is around 79 billion. And Honorable Letzi, it's true that we have one branch in the department that manages all work around that 79 billion. That's the university education branch, and the branch has approximately 120 staff members and a number of vacancies at the moment. We're also very pleased that our chief director and directors have been advertised, and we hope that other vacancies will be advertised soon. Just in terms of the funding, the majority of the funding goes in transfers to universities for block grants for their operations, and that happens on a monthly basis. We don't put that as a target because it's an operational matter, and of course we manage that those transfers on an ongoing basis to ensure that universities are able to operate effectively. And then, of course, we have the NIFAS, which also received large amounts of that funding. Of that total funding, just over 8 billion is in earmark grants, which require the branch to do direct monitoring, evaluation, planning, and working with universities. and holding, we hold universities to account for every cent of that funding. So there is an enormous amount of work that goes in during the year on all of those aspects, including ensuring that policies are implemented, policies are developed, we regulate the system effectively, and we support institutions. So we have a monitoring, evaluation, and support program that works directly with institutions around numerous aspects. So in terms of our targets, we have 33 targets for the entire year. However, in the second quarter, we only had 2 targets. And you'll recall that we, with the COVID issues, we were going through a process of the APP changes. We had requested, because we knew we were not able to hold the International Intergovernmental Scholarships Forum, to remove that target from the second quarter. However, that wasn't possible. We had to keep it, which is why we didn't meet that particular target. It was as a result of the COVID intervention, which was most unexpected. The other target was met in the first in that quarter. Just in terms of progress in relation to all the other work, certainly we would be able to provide in-depth reports on that, and a large number of our targets at the end, which are due at the end of the academic year, their annual targets, which reflect on the overall work within each of the earmark grants. For example, the infrastructure and efficiency, the HDI development grant, the international scholarships program, the foundation provisioning that we support across the system, the research outputs, and you'll be aware that funding for research outputs in the block grant is just over $4 billion, and that requires quite significant work with the system around research outputs and creative and innovation outputs in the system. So all of these things we have annual targets for, where we provide detailed reports on the spending, the utilization of funds, and the progress in terms of all the various aspects that are supported. And certainly it would be useful, I think, for the portfolio committee to get more detailed reports on all of these aspects. All of those, the previous year's reports were all finalized, and they were finalized in March this year. We can certainly provide the portfolio committee with many of the achievements there, which are very wide-ranging and very broad. I think it would be interesting for the portfolio committee to be able to see some of the achievements of the system in terms of the funding that is made available to it, and that's across teaching, learning, and research, as well as infrastructure development and other programs. So I think one takes the point, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that perhaps the report that was presented didn't give details of the actual work that is undertaken on a daily basis. Certainly over the, since the outbreak of the pandemic, the branch has been very focused on dealing with the effects of COVID and implementing remote teaching and learning and supporting universities to do that. So I think that's where we are. In terms of how the report was structured, I think our DDG planning could perhaps assist with that. as the planning branch is responsible for that process. But other than that, Honourable Chair, I think that was the main issue that came up around the work of the University Education Branch. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Who's next? Who's going to talk to us from BHEDS? Do we have a DDG for skills or planning? Okay, let's go to Mr. Matlobo.
Chair, can I come in? Good morning to you, Chair, and the honourable members, and my colleagues at DSI. Just respond to one issue which was raised with regard to first whether or not there is a plan in place to achieve the target that was not achieved, and whether or not the report that is now going to be issued to be finalized at the end of March. Why was that effect to that? First, I must just indicate that on the APP, the program has 15 targets, including this one, which was not achieved. Because the monitoring of curriculum implementation is a real-time event. You can't monitor curriculum implementation and improvement retrospectively. It does mean that the only report that they will be able to achieve is the one which is scheduled for the end of March. And please also, honorable members and chair, that report is not a deferred work. There are two such reports per financial aid. And the one which we were not able to achieve is the one for the end of the second quarter. However, I have all the reasons in the absence of any further lockdown that the CET unit directors who are in each province, in each region, will be able to go and monitor the curriculum implementation of the curriculum improvement plan, and then report accordingly so that we can achieve the report at the end of March. And that was the issue that was raised by members in relation to the CET. But I must also just indicate that at the previous session, we did indicate that some of the targets have been moved towards, a great many of the targets have been moved towards the end of the year, because of the compression of time, and then an understanding that within the limited time, if we leave them on the third quarter, we won't be able to achieve them, because during the greater part of the third quarter for the branch, it is examination time. And at the moment, the branch is concentrating on monitoring the exams and reporting on irregularities using our regional functions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Who's gonna talk to us? So we're done with the DDG for... Yeah, but your sound is not good, but anyway, come in.
Sorry, Chair, I thought it was yours. Quickly, Chair, I was just checking on the list if DDG Blaney is here. I thought we needed to respond to the issue pertaining to the structure of the report. Chair, I just want to confirm that we do take your concern to heart, especially because the report was not as comprehensive as you would have anticipated. But just to confirm also, Chair, that we have structured the report in accordance with the target that we have in the APP, as confirmed by the previous speakers, the DDGs that have spoken already. And as we indicated when we tabled the revised APP, it is just unfortunate that when we revised the APP, we then indicated that most of the targets were either shifted to a later delivery date in terms of the orders, or even shifted to the next financial year. So for the quarter in particular, indeed we had six targets. It is in line with the APP. You notice that in the next quarter, quarter three and quarter four, the report will look completely different, as the bulk of the targets are actually sitting in the third and the fourth quarter. But we do take your concern seriously, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay. Who's the next? HR.
Thank you, Chair. Well, it is just to confirm what the CFO has reported, that there's no intention to freeze any post in the department. We advertised the 160 posts, and we are busy processing for... Hello? Yes,
can you please switch on the video?
My computer has a problem. I always struggle. Let me try. I think it is the one that you see here that is giving me a problem. Okay. I don't know if you can see me now.
Your
Hello,
video,
chat?
Yeah, your video is not on.
I think my laptop has a problem, Chairperson. I always have a problem getting my video on. I'm not sure why. But if you allow me to just finish, is that we are busy with the processing of the post. The
Madam,
minister, yes, Chair?
Please switch on your video.
Chairperson, I'm trying. I don't know if it is now working.
You know, what position are you at, DDG? Are you DDG Chief Director, Madam? Member? What is your designation? Can you hear me? Okay, I think we'll come back. Is there any other person from DHET? No one from DHET.
Chair, can I just make an observation, Chair? There was a request from Honorable Member Manisa that there is merit in the members of the community visiting actually going to the both the TVET as well as the CET colleges for monitoring purposes. Yeah, and I think I really think I would welcome that, and so that the members of the portfolio committee can see for themselves what is being done there or not being done there, so that we can then engage on the outcomes of that monitoring visit by the portfolio committee. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we don't have any more. Mrs. Mbogo is not able to switch on the video. We would like, you know, let me just make this point. When you come to engage with us, you come and account and appear before us, as a department, we expect that you would have prepared for that appearance. Make sure that your gadget is proper. I'm sure these gadgets are issued by government to yourself. These are departmental gadgets that are issued, the laptop, so they should be in working order. If they are not in working order, please make sure that working order. When you appear, you can't appear behind the name, and we are not able to see you. Excuses that there is a problem with my mic, my video, and all of that is unacceptable. It's like you don't take this appearance seriously. You don't always come and present the kind of issues that you are coming to present. I'm sure you come once in 3 months. So when you do appear, please take us. It's a serious meeting, this one. So please prepare for it so that we can see you, we can see who's talking to us, and also we are able to engage with yourself and so forth. Now the DG has left. The DDG for planning is not here. We don't know what are the reasons why the DDG for planning is not here. Mem Bobo is having problems with the video. I've asked questions that relate to the responses from the minister. I know the minister is not here, but somebody from his office should be here and give us an indication when.
No, I'm supposed to be speaking. Hello?
Okay, you are not on the platform. Please switch off your mic. Please mute. I don't know whether there's somebody from the minister's office who can talk to us about the questions that you've asked. But maybe let's allow Mrs. Mbogo to finalize the responses to us. Now, are you able to switch on your mic? Your video.
Yes, Chairperson. My sincere apologies. I think it's my laptop that is outdated. I sincerely apologize. I should have used my phone rather. I wanted to just say that we have advertised 160 positions, and we are busy processing and scheduling for interviews. This week, the minister will be holding a shortlisting meeting for the 3 DDG positions and the CFO position, and the dates for interviews for those 4 DDG, well, 3 DDG positions are planned for early next month. We will be advertising early around January the remaining batch of the vacancies. We have a total of 299, and we advertised 160, and then in January, towards the end of January,
we will then release a second bulletin to advertise all the vacancies in the department. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Please, next time when you come here, prepare for this appearance. Don't do as you are doing now, because it does not give us a good impression of the kind of professionalism with which you take your responsibility. It gives a very bad impression. So please prepare properly next time when you appear. Okay, so we don't have anybody from the minister.
Chair, can I come in?
Double F.
Good afternoon, Chair, and the senior officials of the department. I just spoke to the chief of staff. She has been following with the correspondence will reach your office before the end of today. If not today, it will be tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right, we're done with the DHET. Can we move to GSI?
Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, may I perhaps ask Robert if he can comment on the less than 1% for the black-owned or female-owned enterprises? It's a question from honorable. Perhaps just wait, Robert. There are more than one for you. And then the other one is the underspending in the Deputy Minister's office. If you can just give the history of that and how it's been addressed, we would really appreciate that. And then I'm not so sure if Professor Seledi is with us on the number of people with disabilities that have not received any grants from the ANRF for master's students and PhD students. If unable, I will respond to the issues of the ministerial guidelines that I think the Act now allows us to activate. So, and then I would ask Mr. Patel if he could talk about the work that we're doing on the blind. I do remember vaguely the work that the CSIR was doing, but probably he could respond to that, or maybe a process on how that could be done. There's a question from Honorable Mananiso. And then I will respond broadly on our strategy on people with disabilities broadly and how we would like to address going forward, Chair. And then on the information that you requested last time, I hope that the response from Babule will assist, because we are hoping the minister will sign off on the responses to yourself, both on the decadal plan roadmap as well as the AG irregularity on the 190. I think we have provided all the necessary input, so hopefully that will be provided. So I don't know if Robert could start, followed by Yona, Imran, and then I will come at the end with your permission, Chairperson. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm at the office.
Thanks, DG. On the issue of spending 0.9 under women, we did indicate that from the beginning of this year, as a result of the pandemic, we were not able to procure as we'd like to have. We used mainly a transversal contract during the period. Okay. As a result, the spending for women was as low as indicated. But as I've indicated, we do have a plan. We developed a procurement strategy in which our intention is to focus more on procurement from women, youth, and people with disabilities. We are hopeful that in the next quarter, until the end of the financial year, the situation will look much better than it is now, given the fact that even the lockdown has gone down, we are able to procure from quite a number of entities. And then with regard to spending under compensation, under spending as a result of the DM's office, The DM's office was supposed to be transferred to the BSI from DHS, from DHS on the 1st of April. Unfortunately, as a result of the lockdown, that transfer could not take place. Therefore, the spending for Deputy Minister and his staff was still paid by DHS. Well, okay. They were only transferred, I think.
I didn't hear you said there was supposed to be a transfer. What
transfer? Yeah, they were supposed to be transferred from DHET. They were at DHET all along. So from 1 April, they were supposed to be transferred from DHET PESAL to our PESAL. So they were supposed to be under the BSI. Unfortunately, that did not take place because of the lockdown. Therefore, the spending on their compensation from 1 April, it was carried by DHET. But that spending, the DHET is going to send all the vouchers in relation to that spending to the DSI. Our spending for the minister is going to improve going forward from now, because now they are with the DSI, they are no longer at DHET. So that was the reason why the spending in the DHET's office was low at the DSI. It was carried by the DHET. Thank you. I hope I've answered the question as required. Thank you.
Yeah, let me just make a bit follow up on that one. I don't know what. I guess this is an internal arrangement between the departments. Because initially, what we were informed at the beginning of the Parliament is that the minister will be housed in DSI, the deputy minister will be at DHET, and so now the arrangement is that both the minister and the deputy minister will then be housed at DSI and their remuneration will be carried by the Department of Science and Innovation. It's no longer going to be split as we all originally informed. So this is an internal arrangement. Maybe let me ask the DJ. Actually, is it just an internal arrangement or what is it about?
Thanks, Chair. Robert should be able to respond to this because I think this is a treasury line item recommendation. Robert?
Thanks, DJ. Yeah, it was actually the thing that we have discussed with Treasury. They advised that it is better that we do not move the deputy minister's spending during that period, because we were already in the middle of the financial year. The minister moved quickly, immediately after the administration kicked in. Minister moved immediately to the BI. But Deputy Minister did not move immediately. Therefore, the arrangement was that he will move at the end of April to the BSI. So that is what happened. And then that was discussed with Treasury, and then that was the agreement that he will move at the 1st of April. So unfortunately, the 1st of April, when it came, we had the pandemic, and the transfer couldn't take place.
Well, it's fine. You know, the reason why I'm asking is I know it's an internal arrangement. I don't know whether it might be a choice of the executive where they get to choose where they are located or the spending thereof. But I'm looking at the budget. The budget for DSI was over 8 billion and it was adjusted down to below 8 billion, I think 7.8 billion. And when you look at the budget for DHET, it was over 110 billion. And then it was adjusted down, I think, to about 107 billion. So when you look at the resources available between the two departments, there's more resources available at DHET than at DSI. despite our protest that this department, DFI, is a very important department, it needs to be fully funded and Treasury still took some money from the talk. You've got a much more limited resource base as opposed to DHET. So the logical thing to do is to identify DHET to cover the cost of it, as opposed to, you know, taking from a very low decline, not wise. So for me, it will make sense that way, but I don't know what arrangement we entered into, and why would we focus on resources from the department that is not fully funded, so to speak. You may not have the answers to that because it might be a decision that has been taken at another level. But yeah.
I can share something with you, Chair. If we had not, you know, because both departments had a budget for Deputy Minister, and each department that does not take the Deputy Minister, the money was going to be transferred to the National Treasury. So either way, even if we said no, he must remain as he had, the budget we had for Deputy Minister, because we had Deputy Minister, that money was going to have to be transferred to National Treasury because we couldn't spend. So there won't be any impact on the compensation whether we take the 15 minutes or not. It was going to be transferred. So for us, it did not make any difference.
All right, no, it's fine. I guess maybe you missed my point, but it's okay.
Okay.
That's my point about resources generally. But it's fine because compensation is a line function that gets determined by yourself. So you can direct some of the money compensation to employees to other programs and request the Treasury approves that. It's possible that you can do it, but you can deal with the other demands that are there within the department still within the amount that has been allocated to yourself. But I guess maybe this discussion is taking place at another level. But can we move to another person?
Yes, thanks very much, Chairperson. So Professor Siletu will talk about the determination by the ministry on the issue of targets on the disability slides, I think it was slides 7 and 14, both in terms of what it meant that we didn't have anyone that was funded who had disabilities, but secondly, how we think that can be corrected. It's a response to Honorable Mo. Sorry, Honorable Sibir.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. There is a ministerial guidelines that we do have that make provisions for different categories as a way of empowerment. For the people with disability, there's a 4% allocation in terms of the guideline. Then women is 55%, and the blacks is 80%. Now, these guidelines are managed across the NSI, but largely when it comes to bursaries and scholarships, this is managed by the NRF. Recently, as a result of some of the questions that have been raised in this house, we have developed an indicator which we are now going to be implementing with all our stakeholders to ensure that we get reporting and we monitor the implementation of the ministerial guidelines. So this is where we are at the moment as a result of the process of interacting with you. It has made us to move into refining our monitoring and response to the issue. So in the coming year, and in coming reports, we are pushing hard to get the figures around that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Imran, on the question from Honorable Mananiso around the blind SA and broadly on the work that we're doing for the blind.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, members. I hope you can see me on the screen. The initiative SA note, I don't have current information about where that development is at, but this was a technology developed by CSR a while back when they had a very active human language technology section. I'm not too sure what has happened to that section recently with the changes at the CSR, but they developed a technology called SA Note, and this technology was in the process of being licensed so that it's commercialized, and there was some service provider that was taken on board. Where that project is at, Honorable Member, I'm not too sure at this point in time. We can make inquiries and get a bit of an update in the briefing around where the technology is and whether it was in fact successfully taken to market, because that's part of the challenge. But on disability technologies or technologies to support people with various disabilities, I'm aware of different initiatives that either are targeted at people with visual impairments or with hearing impairments or people in wheelchairs, etc. But I don't think as a department we have a kind of consolidated sense of this, and I think it is something that we should prioritize to in fact do a bit of an audit of what currently exists, and maybe also strategically to think about how is it that we encourage the development of technologies in this space, working in partnership with the many organizations that represent people with various disabilities like blind SA, etc. We've had informal engagement. I think we need to take it to the next level. Hopefully it can be something that the Honourable Member can ensure is also hardwired in the decadal plan as an area that we need to be encouraging innovation and technology development. So I'm not too sure if I've managed to address the issues.
No, thanks, Imran. Yes, we can follow up on that CSR work, and then we can do an audit and then our own strategy. And then if the Chair would allow, there was one question from Honorable Sbia around district development model. Let me see if I can, I hope you can see the slide which we showed earlier on. Is it loading, Chair?
Yeah, we can see the slide, DJ.
Yeah, the Honorable Chair, Honorable Sbia, all the areas highlighted in green are the areas where we have some activity, one form or the other. But what, of course, we haven't done and will be guided by the Chair, we haven't specified what the activity is in each of the areas in green. We would be more than happy, Chair, through you, if required, to indicate what the project is that is in each of these. In certain instances it could be one, in other areas it could be more than one, a set of activities that we're doing in a particular district. And then lastly, Chair, is we take the congratulations, and from ourselves and I think one member indicated, Honorable Letzia, that it's not only the DG. The DG is as good as the staff that works with him. So it was both the best functioning department, so this accolade goes not only to myself, but to the rest of the department, and we're grateful, though, for the acknowledgement on your side. And on Honorable Nodata, we take the proposal of an increased budget to be allocated to the DSI. and we'll be guided by the committee on how best that can be done on your side. From our side, we're fighting every little battle to try and make sure that happens. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks to the DG. Let me just finish something that I was doing. Thanks to yourself, DG, and to your team. I think we must acknowledge the good work that you are doing and the department is doing. I said before that our hope has always been, and in the various reports that we submit to Parliament, we always argue for additional allocations to be made to this department, because we do appreciate the good work that the department is doing. But the importance of science and innovation in the national system of innovation in this country, and the need for the increased allocation, because if you look at the cuts in the funding, it's ultimately going to impact on the funding for postgraduate studies that NRF is busy with at the moment. And so our funding for research is going to decrease ultimately. And that is going to impact on the place that this country occupies among the other nations of the world in terms of investing in research and innovation. And so our argument is not something that is misplaced. It's not because we like the faces that appear before us. And it's not because we like the fact that this department is efficient in doing its work. But we understand its importance in the country. And that's why we've insisted that there must be more allocation to this department. Unfortunately, the cuts have badly affected the DSI. But I think we must continue to encourage the staff members, all the employees in the department to do their best. We have been showering this type of accolades to somebody heading another entity. And we were later on disappointed by the lot of things that we got to discover later that is happening. I'm not saying it's the case in this situation. I know that, and I don't have any reason to believe that what we are receiving, our observation, and the observation of the entirety of those who are responsible for the performance of the entire government system are receiving. So I think in this instance it's not the same as in another instance where we spoke well of an individual only to find out later that, hey, yeah, we have been taken for a ride. But otherwise, thanks, Dr. Phil and your team. Higher education and training, I think the clarification helps about the targets. I think what would have been good is that you should have indicated for the first quarter and the second quarter. Although you are reporting on the second quarter, but it's an accumulated performance. Remember, you did not present to us the first quarter. So it's supposed to be the first and the second quarterly report that you're supposed to take us through, so that we understand the context and what is remaining But if you look at what Dr. Parker is saying, that there are about more than 30 targets, and for the second quarter it's only 2. So one gets worried that the rest of the targets which are sitting in the third and the fourth quarter, will they be achieved? So normally when you plan your performance, you have to distribute all these targets evenly within the quarters. You don't have to load the outer quarters because it's going to be too heavy for you when you have to achieve those targets. I don't know what the situation is. I don't have any APP in front of me, to compare how is the distribution of the targets within the quarters. I think good practice will dictate that you don't have to load a lot of targets in the outer quarters, otherwise you are not going to perform well. But I think that clarification helps. But in future, please improve on how you report on the performance, so that we can get an idea as to where you started, how far you are. You know, the same way as DSI has presented, I think it would have been better for DHEAD also to report like that. But otherwise, it's a work in progress. We're hoping that by the time we deal with the fourth quarter, which will represent almost like an annual performance, the situation would have improved. The budget cuts are also experienced in DHEAD. But I see that there has been some under expenditure there, which may suggest that you didn't need the money that was taken away, and hence you spend in the manner that you are spending. But yeah, the budget cuts are affecting everybody else. Please have that meeting with SACO. Understand their difficulties. I know that you said you reviewed your information, and your information is such that what they presented is not what you have. But I will still appeal to the department, to the team that is dealing with finance and so forth, to please look at the situation of SACO. We don't have to experience the job losses that they were telling us about. We don't want any other employee to go home as a result of this budget cut. So find a way of looking at whatever they have, whatever they are asking, and be open-minded about their engagement so that you can save those jobs that they've been telling us about. But I think I forgot the name of the official who was having difficulty. I think next time, please just prepare properly when you come to us. This is not just your ordinary day going to work. You are appearing before Portfolio Committee of Parliament. You must be properly prepared. You don't come with, because of COVID, at least the costs are safe. You don't have to fly from Pretoria to Cape Town to appear. You are now appearing virtually. So you still have to prepare for that appearance. You still have to make sure that your gadget works. If it doesn't work, the department must issue you a new one so that you can do your work, because that is a tool of trade that you need. It doesn't give a good impression, as I said, to come here and complain to us about your computer not working properly and all of that when you are called upon to account to us. Please look at that going forward. And lastly, I think we will welcome the assurance by Babulela that we will receive a response from the minister latest, well, we'll receive it by this afternoon, latest tomorrow. Please, let's get that. I guess it's also a response on the questions that you've raised on science and innovation. We need those responses for science and innovation so that we can finalize our report on the BRRR, because we are receiving the annual report. We need to prepare our report to get it approved by ATC and ultimately be presented to Parliament, to the House for approval. So we need those responses. So these responses are part of our democratic system of governance and accountability. This committee is doing what the committee is supposed to do in terms of its mandate. You know that in our system there is the judiciary, there is the legislature, there is the executive. So the executive accounts to Parliament, and individual members of the executive are accounting to Parliament through this portfolio committee. So when we ask the question and we get ignored, it simply means that there is an abdication of that responsibility to account to Parliament. We may not like the questions that get raised. Sometimes Honorable Modada asks questions that I also don't like, but this is his responsibility. And if we do ask questions as a portfolio committee, it's our responsibility as well to do that. And at all material times, there must be accounting on the questions that you are asking. There must be a response. Now, when you ignore a letter that you have received for over a month, I don't know what is that supposed to mean. I don't know what is that, what can that be characterized as. So please, let's get those responses that we've asked the questions. That information should be available in the department, and let's get those responses. Thank you very much, honorable members, for the engagement. Tomorrow, I think we're meeting again. What are we dealing with tomorrow, Shanaz?
We're dealing with, Chairperson, we're receiving a presentation from the department with regard to the implementation of articulation, the post-school education and training. And we also invited SAQUA, the UCTO, to form part of the meeting, Chairperson, including the CHE.
Okay. All right, that's our meeting for tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. This meeting is adjourned.
Sorry, can we give a minute?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. You didn't alert me to that. Honorable Nizia.
Thank you very much. Apologies, Chair. I was one of the things I wanted to raise was the issue of minutes. But secondly, Chair, as a suggestion for, well, I'm proposing that we schedule a meeting with the department, especially the university branch, to look at the potential impact of the stay away notice as announced by SAUS for next week, I think Wednesday. You'll remember that students are writing exams, majority of the teaching is online. So I thought maybe we might want to have a bite with the department as to what will be the potential impact, potential negative impact of that, and if SAUS goes on a contact March, what will be the impact, you know, of that, having noted that we do have a potential second wave of of COVID-19. So I don't think, Chair, we must just let it slide or pretend as if we don't see the potential negative impact of both the strike on COVID-19 and also because we have online teaching, learning, and examination. What you know, can be mitigating factors? Obviously, that discussion we should have with the department and NSFAS, because majority of the issues they raised was with regards to NSFAS. I apologize, Chairperson, for bringing this now. I forgot to bring it earlier on for Dr. Parker to respond to, but we can have a discussion maybe on our own and then invite the department. Thank you very much. And I sincerely apologize.
Okay. Okay, maybe let's get from Dr. Parker what are the arrangements before we decide on anything. Dr. Parker, there is a letter that we have seen, although it was not addressed to us, but we were giving some notice there of action they want to undertake for regarding issues regarding NSFAS and all of that. What are the arrangements that have been made? Do we need a full briefing around those issues, or what are the arrangements, for instance, to safeguard the current examinations taking place in some institutions and all of that?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The letter was received from Saud, and we are currently engaging both with NSFAS around the various arrangements that can be made. Some of the demands are demands that may not be met, but we are preparing a response for the Minister, and the Minister will engage with us before that date, because this is really important that we engage with them. We would want a responsible, focus in terms of how we deal with some of the challenges that have been brought on by COVID, and we would work with SARS hopefully to mitigate against any kind of response. It would be, we think, very problematic for the system should they call such a shutdown. It would not be good news for the system at all, and it could result in major disruption, further costs, and difficulties across the system. So right now we are in the process of developing that response. We expect that there will be an engagement with them. And we expect our minister to be having that discussion as soon as we are able to provide the information to support it. Thank you.
Okay. So is there anything planned? A meeting date has been planned, or you're waiting for the minister?
No, a meeting date hasn't yet been planned. We're in the process of developing the information for the minister, and the minister's office would be dealing with it through the stakeholder relations section.
Okay. All right. Let's process that issue, Honourable Lizzie, and see if we can find a date. Tomorrow briefing that we asked for on the articulation, and Friday I know there's also a what's happening on Friday, Annele?
Chair, there's a sitting on Friday, a plenary starting from 10, so we don't have a meeting, Chair.
Okay, so plenary is scheduled on Friday, so we can't have anything on Friday. We can't have anything on Thursday because it's a party caucuses day, so we can't have anything. We'll look at probably next week, and what we have next week, and then we'll see if we can schedule something in line with the department, because we still have to give them sufficient time to prepare for their presentation and for the engagement. And we may also don't like Honorable Isier to duplicate the engagement that may be taking place between the minister and the SAUS. So we may just be, but let's find a way of processing that request outside of a meeting, and when we can schedule it. I know that before the end, before we arrive, there is a briefing on preparations for 2021 academic year. So maybe we might plot it there, but if it's urgent, we can look at having a briefing by next Tuesday. Anele, you'll help us there with the minutes.
Yes, Chair. We're starting with the minutes of the 27th, 28th, and the 30th of October. And then it will be followed by the minutes of the month of November, starting on the 3rd, 4th, 6th, and the 10th. So those are the minutes, Chairperson, and they were distributed to members.
So how many sets of minutes do we have?
It's about it's about 9 sets of minutes, Chair.
Honorable Chair.
No, 7, Chair.
7, okay.
Thanks, Chair. We have received minutes on time, went through them, no material problems with them, and I therefore propose that we adopt all of them together, and I move for the adoption of all of them. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable
Chair.
Who's speaking?
Honorable Chair.
Oh,
Honorable.
Okay.
Chair, I'm okay, and Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Now, Chair, I wanted to support what Honorable Lucia has raised, because that's many sets of minutes, yes. And we had the benefit of looking at the minutes before this day comes. And I want to second that we adopt them as they are, all of them.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Lucia, and moved, seconded by Honorable Novo, that this meeting adopt all the 7 sets of minutes. It is in order. Is there any dissenting view? Nothing. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. All the 7 sets of minutes are therefore agreed to, and therefore this meeting is
Honorable Chairperson.
Oh, okay.
Honorable Ngobo, can I have an indulgence, Chairperson, please?
Yes, Honorable Ngobo.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm just requesting to raise a matter which is not necessarily, which does not have anything to do with this necessarily. Chairperson, I'm raising an issue about MUT, and I want to impress upon the Chairperson that unless something happens urgently, there is going to be problems at MUT. I don't know about scheduling, because I know how packed things are as we speak. But I just wanted to make that plea, just put it to you, Chairperson, so that maybe the Chairperson can think about it and advise. I'm raising it because I have been contacted by so many people, simply because MUT happens to be in the province where I reside.
Okay, yeah, no, thanks a lot, Honorable Nwabo. The situation regarding MUT is on our radar screen. We are observing what has been happening, following up on the development. You will recall that we scheduled them to come and brief us earlier on when the problem started to emerge, when the Vice Chancellor was suspended, when the chair of council also took leave, and then the council decided to appoint the forensic investigation to probe the matters and all of that. We invited them. Unfortunately, the council told us that they are not able to come. They are waiting for the results of the forensic investigation, which was concluded. There seem to be other persons who are contesting the outcome of that forensic investigation, that it was targeted at certain people and so forth. We are also receiving a lot of correspondence, phone calls, and so forth. So we looked at what is remaining this term. We are left with this week, and then there's next week, and then there's week after next. Week after next, it's going to be sitting, I think, the whole week. And we also looked at the fact that the committee decided to do the inquiry on NSFAS, and we've got an inquiry outstanding of SMU. So we thought that maybe let's take whatever is remaining this term and dedicate it to that SMU, not SMU, the NSFAS inquiry, because it's still fresh, and finalize this one in this term. And next year when we come, one of the things that we have prioritized is MUT. But of course, we are observing what's happening. We might have to look at that and see if we can schedule for about 3 hours to deal with that, even if it's after the sitting of after parliamentary sitting, either next week or week after next. But we'll look at that, Honorable Nwabo, something that is also concerning us. I received a long submission from the Vice Chancellor. We received something from the Council about the outcome of that forensic. There's things happening on the ground there, so that's all what I can say. The issue is how then we program it. And maybe for now, let's request the department, Dr. Parker is here, to prepare something for us, Dr. Parker, because we've received something from council, from the Vice Chancellor. We don't have anything from the department. Maybe let's ask that the department prepare something for us so that we can then share it with the committee members and then see when we can schedule an engagement, because basically what is needed there is real intervention. Things have gotten worse now as we speak. Dr. Parker?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The department has been engaging with MUT, and the minister has also engaged with MUT and the council, and we provided the minister with briefings on this. He's been engaging with the deputy chair of council, who was chair for a while. We've received the forensic report from MUT, and there's ongoing work in terms of support to the institution and intervention. So, Honourable Chair, if the Portfolio Committee would like a report on that, I'm sure that we could do it. But I am aware of the intense work that is underway already in terms of dealing with the institution. The department and, you know, the minister, through the minister, is continuously engaging on this matter. It is a concern to us. Thank you.
Okay. Let's ask that you prepare the report of Papaka about the situation as it unfolds from the perspective of the department, and then we will then take it from there. We'll then inform the members as to what is the next course of action about the matter. I see that Honorable CFS must also look at CPUT. Can I also give you an opportunity after you and Honorable Mananisa, and then I'm going to wrap up. Honorable Lipia.
Thanks, Chair. My mind might not be working well today. I forgot this part. I wanted to alert the committee that there's been a strike, I think, from late last week at CPUT. And yesterday, police would have unleashed rubber bullets, tear gas, and all of that on students. And there was late at night, there was a female student which went into labor, and the ambulance could not reach her because there was that confrontation between other students and the South African police service. So I'm just suggesting that, Chair, we also look at CPUT. CPUT is of interest to me, Chair, because when we had a discussion with USAF, the department, TVET, SACPO, you'll remember that the report that came from both USAF and the department that said CPUT is ready, they are going to conclude the year this year in December. And I did raise as a show in that meeting. And it looks like, according to some quarters of students there, they don't believe that they are ready to conclude the year this year. So I'm also suggesting, as we are dealing with the issue of MUT, let's also look at CPUT as a former HDI and if we're doing well there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I see Honorable Mananiso has withdrawn. Her hand was for the minutes, so the minutes have been approved. Okay, so we will also look at CPUT. We are doing some work there around CPUT. There are two reports that we are looking at, the Moerane report and the Yekiso report. Members would recall that earlier this year we met with CPUT and those reports were raised. And there have since been supplied to us. We are working on it with a view to having a follow-up engagement with CPUT together with the students. Yeah, the situation as it is now, I wasn't aware, but thanks for the information, Honorable Dear. I'm sure with the department must follow up and make the necessary interventions that are required. But CPUT is one of the institutions that we need to follow it up next year, just to see how these two reports have been dealt with and they've been concluded, because it does look like the issues there are quite systemic, and they have been experienced over a long period of time, And I think probably we need to address the systemic issues that are there in the institution and find a solution. You recall that earlier this year, it's one of the institutions that was affected by the delays in commencing with the 2020 academic year. We called them to Parliament, the students were there, management was there, and there were these issues between the students and the management, mainly around the issues that remained unresolved from the two reports that was commissioned by council. But otherwise, honorable members, if there's anything that you would like us to look at, you are free to raise it with my office, and then we can see how we process that. Honorable
apologies for not switching on my video. I have a very bad connection where I am, so if you'll allow me to speak without switching it on. I'm just on this matter of stability, I'm just noting that an email was just sent to you. I'm not sure if you've seen it, that I've been stated on that students will be embarking on a march to hand over a memorandum to the portfolio committee tomorrow. I'm not sure if you've seen the email, but I see it was directed to you and the portfolio committee in general. So I'm not sure how we'll be handling that situation, because by the looks of it, the situation is very dire there. We've seen footage yesterday of clashes with students and what the Honorable Lecce has been noting as well. So if the students are saying they're going to be embarking on a protest to hand over a memorandum of demands to this portfolio committee, I think we must be able to have a contingency in terms of how we're going to be receiving it and the feedback that will be given to them. As the academic year draws to a close, it seems to be a very hostile environment. And we need our urgent attention. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention in case you haven't seen the email and the committee as well, to bring it up there, as not all members are CC'd in this email. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Tam. I've not yet received the email. I think we'll follow up. Anele, please just follow up to see this email. I was not aware, as I said, about the situation that is clearly deteriorating there. We'll look at the email and make arrangements that there should be somebody. Unfortunately, I'm not in Cape Town, so I will not be able to come and receive the memorandum if they do come to Parliament. But we can make the necessary arrangements to get it received on our behalf by the leadership of Parliament. And then we can attend to it, to look at it. It does look like we may have to attend to it urgently. Honorable Lizzie is there. He can also help us with the leadership of Parliament to get the memorandum, and we'll definitely have to process it and then attend to it immediately. Okay. Honorable members, thank you very much. And let's thank Honorable Ngwebo for raising that. I know that it was outside of the agenda issues. But these are matters of current affairs in the university space, which we must always be alive to. So we now are aware that there's problems at CPUT. The situation is getting worse, and the situation requires the attention of the department. There are issues they want to raise with us, they will come and raise them with us. We will look at the memorandum and decide. It might have something to do with what they raised in the past about the two reports and the other issues. We'll hear what they're saying and then we'll respond accordingly. And we will inform the members of the next course of action. Otherwise, thank you very much, honorable members. This meeting is adjourned. Until we meet again tomorrow at 9, we'll just follow up with the intended march by the students from CPUT and make the necessary arrangements. Thank you very much, honorable members, and let's thank the officials from both Department of Science and Innovation and Higher Education and Training for being part of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.